Is that we're calling a healing body. I am getting assistance from a renowned doctor, Dr. Henry Cloud. If we were a larger church,
they might bring on like a family life pastor or a counselor, all that. Because I'll be straight up with you, it is, I don't feel like I am a, can I use the word guru, of practical information to be able to help you. I struggle in my own life in areas. But here's what I believe is true, and that is that the Word of God provides direction for us, that when we apply the Word of God into our lives, it has very, very practical solutions for us that can be a tremendous blessing. And so last week, in our first sermon on this in this series, we talked about when we take the idea of biblical grace, apply it to biblical truth, and we add time to it, that it is a recipe for healing. Can you say amen? Grace, truth, and time. And so as we put those together and we allow God to direct us in those things, it becomes a tremendous blessing for us. This morning what I want to do, and I do invite those that are certainly members of our church, and if you're interested, you'd like to become a member, we invite you to stay for our we have a what's called an annual business meeting, and so it'll occur after the message this morning. Plan to be a little short, perhaps, this morning, so that I can keep your attention span just a little longer. So that is where we're going to be going. But if I don't get a chance to invite you to stay for that, please do. So again, we're talking about receiving life from others. Okay? Receiving life from others. The first thing that I think that we really need to understand is that we are made in His image. And we are made in God's image. And this is an important thing for us to understand. The scripture says this, going back to the first book and first chapter, it says, so God created mankind, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. So when you're voting in November, remember that there is the definition of marriage right there. So again, verse 27, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. So in the image of God, He created them. We are created in that image. Do you say amen? Now, I have tried to make my wife think, my lovely wife sitting right here up in the front, I've tried to make my wife think that I am all-knowing. And that I am all powerful. But she did you hear that? She said, aren't you? What a sweet, sweet thought. I wasn't on Thursday. You know, does this happen to any other guys? You know, it's like we were getting ready to go out to eat somewhere, and I said, where do you want to go? And she said, well, wherever you want to go. And so I threw out my first suggestion, it's not there. See, if I was all-knowing, I would be right all the time. But I'm just constantly wrong. So I just go, where do you want to go? Just tell me where you want to go, because you know you're safe. Anybody else feel that pain, guys? Thank you. Thank you for those hands that can relate to that. Anyway, all-knowing, all-powerful certainly doesn't describe me. So the question then becomes, not any other qualities are not the majority of the qualities that God has, but what is there that we have in common? How are we like God? How are we, in fact, made in His image? And so, most importantly, what I want us to understand this morning is that God makes us relational. Okay? God makes us relational. God Himself is relational. Right? Think about the relationship of the Godhead. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All together, all one, yet all unique at the same time. Everybody just shake your head, go, yep. Okay? So there's this relationship that we have in the Godhead. And so there's that relationship that is going on. In addition to that, we have the creation of man, as we just saw in verse 27 of Genesis. We have the creation of man, and the scripture tells us that Adam and Eve were placed into the garden. And so in the garden, they were in relationship, they were in communion with God, and so there was this relationship that was going on. So you see this relationship continuing. Even after the sin, there was this separation. Yes, sin brought curse, but then there's still this relationship. And as you trace it through the rest of the Bible, this relationship continues to be at issue. Right? It is God continues to want to have relationship with us. And so that is part of that plan that God has. Now, Dr. Cloud suggests that we're created in God's image, and uniquely in four different areas. These are four things that we share with God because we're created in His image. First one is bonding with others. No man is an island. No man is jokingly refer to it as cowboy, right? Out on the range all by yourself. Maybe you think you are, but you weren't created to be that way. Another thing that is important is that there needs to be a separation. We're going to talk about that next week. Okay? Sometimes there needs to be a separating. There needs to be boundaries, is the way Dr. Cloud uses it, but that has to take place. You have to set that up. The other is that, like God, we have to sort out issues of good and bad. We have to be able to sort out issues of good and bad. And then the fourth one is that we need to be able to take charge as an adult. And maybe you know that there's an expectation for us to grow up. How many of you like parting mustaches of babies to put the bottle in? Right? No. Right? We don't want that. We expect that there's a maturity. We expect that there's a growth that's taking place. And people are growing up to be able to take on those responsibilities. Who wants to be married to a baby? Who wants to be married to a teenager? Who wants to be married to an adolescent? Nobody. Our expectation when we took our vows, we stood before the pastor or wherever you got married, the expectation was, I am marrying an adult. Are you with me this morning? Okay, so here's the first thing, taking this idea from that, and that is that relationship is natural. Okay, relationship is natural. Everybody say it with me. Relationship is natural. And if you got the sermon, fill in the blank, that's the word to fill in that blank right there. Relationship is natural. Okay, so that's the first thing that we need to understand. The second thing is this, is that we are called to love one another. Okay, so loving one another. When Jesus was approaching his final days, Jesus was, his time was up, his season was finishing, and we're about to go into Easter very, very quickly. But as he was approaching the cross, approaching his death, he became very, very open and honest with the disciples. He told them, look, because I'm getting ready to go away. Okay, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be gone. But he gives them this instruction, right? In verse 34 of John 13, says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Verse 35 is somewhere, is it not open? Yeah, there it is. Okay, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So let's go through it again while I've got the whole thing in my mind right here. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's a pretty big command, correct? So our English language is a bit, it's a bit constrained when we begin to talk about this idea of love. I remember in one of my classes, my initial undergraduate degree was in English, straight English, and so I had Dr. Decker. Dr. Decker was fluent in German, and so he told us as we were in this class, we were talking about love, he says the German language has seven different verbs that describe love, so some type of a difference that takes place. Well, in the English language, we really just kind of have, it's either love or like, that's about as close as you get, but love can be used for all kinds of things. We can love chocolate and we can love our spouses. That makes, I mean, isn't that like two separate ends of the spectrum? We can love a color, you know, if you're standing there at Home Depot looking at colors, you go, oh, I love that color. You just met it. Right? I mean, how deep is that love? It just kind of struck you. I love it. And then at the same time, we can say, soldiers can say that they love their country enough to die for it. I mean, we're talking worlds apart in meaning. And so the same thing takes place in the Greek language and in other languages, but here specifically the New Testament is translated into Greek, and so we capture the idea of what was being spoken. And so in the Greek, love can be expressed, and I know many of you have heard this before, but in the Greek, love can be expressed in four different ways. There's phileo, okay, which is a general attraction towards a person or thing, and so it's sort of like a brotherly love. The city of Philadelphia is almost always used as an illustration of it, right? The city of brotherly love. The other one is sturgo. Now, sturgo is sort of a relational, sort of a vertical love relationship. It's an authority kind of thing. And so most of the time people use the illustration of parent to child. That sturgo love. I think it's a little beyond that. But for our purposes this morning, okay, it is that love. It may be even the love that you might have for a leader, a teacher, or somebody that's an authority over you. So that's sturgo. A third one is eros, okay? Eros, which is this love, this passion. It's sort of the core of Valentine's Day, you know? It's like this passionate love that we have for one another. It has a lot to do with physicality. It has a lot to do with craving, desire. And then the fourth one is agape, okay? Agape, coming from the Greek. And then agape love, what we have is, this is the love of God, but it's an intentional love that you have for others. When I speak about marriage and talk about relationships and marriage, the way that couples should be together, it's this agape love. We should be loving one another intentionally, and it is the way that God loves us. He loves us intentionally. That's the same way, it is the way that we ought to love God, and it's the way that we ought to love others. Because here, in this passage, the word that Jesus chooses when he talks about this idea of love is the idea of agape love. He's saying to his disciples, look, love one another intentionally. They love one another intentionally, choosing to love one another, thinking, how can I bless one another? And that is the type of relationship that Jesus is saying. All right? So, relationship is intentional. Okay? In the family of God, relationship is intentional. It is, how can I bless? How can I minister, if I use that word? How can I minister? How can I make you feel appreciated? How can I, you know, be able to help? And let's just kind of broaden it into, you know, let's go in the church first, or maybe outside of it after that. But as a leader, let's say you're leading a children's class, but how can I love these kids? What can I do to be intentional about loving these kids? As the worship team, how can I be up here and help people that are out there that are perhaps hurting? How can I demonstrate the love of God to them in the way that I worship, in the songs that I sing, in my response? How can I, as a minister, how can I love the people, right, with the Word of God? And how can I love them in my act, you know, my attitudes and my actions? How can I be able to do that? How can we love others with volunteering? David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. You know, I often have said that if I were a pastor and I was going to a different church, I would go to the pastor first thing and I would say, Pastor, how can I help you? What is that? I'm not looking for a place, not looking for a pulpit, not looking for anything. You need somebody to open the door, I'll open the door for you. Right? Whatever you need. that is what I would want to do, because love is intentional. We want to be able to help. You know, we have our community group, and if you haven't signed up for a community group, please sign up. That sign-up sheet is out there on the connection group. We've got several in the community. Make it easy. But it's a great opportunity to give. But I love the hosts of these community groups, because they're saying, I'm willing to open up my home. I'm willing to put a meal together, help put a meal together so that we can love other people. See, that's the agape love. That's saying, just as Jesus said to the disciples, love one another. We're doing that by making those decisions and being a part of that. See, it's this intentionality that brings healing into our lives. And it's this intentionality that brings health to the body of Christ. Consider this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, for him, or from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay, going back to that again. Okay. Right, grows up and builds itself up in love. It builds itself up in love in this relationship. Imagine that your household, I mean, just moms and dads, just for a moment, let yourselves just kind of think about this idea. And this idea would be that your house is based on agape love. Right? Here's the place. Your house is operating on agape love. Everybody in the house, everyone in the house takes on the responsibility and the benefit of the home. Right? And going, man, it's nice to come home to a nice home that's taken care of, where I can relax, where I can be a part of this. And yeah, it takes a little bit of work, but you know what? She's slaving at the stove, she's working there cooking, but she's cooking, it's not slaving, wrong word, right? She's working with agape love, and she's going, oh, I want to put in the right spices for my husband, because I'm doing this with intentionality. And I'm going, I'm going to take the trash out, because she shouldn't have to do that. I'm going to go do that, take care of that. I'm going to go help her out in another area. I'm going to fold some clothes for her. I'm going to do these types of things. The kids, imagine this. The kids doing their chores. They're going, I want to help mom and dad. I want to feed the dog. I want to walk the dog. I want to do these different types of things, all going together because of the household thing. We love one another, and we want to be a blessing to one another. And this home is like, man, this is awesome. Just imagine that. It's almost dead that we laugh. But that's the scripture. That's the scripture. It says to love one another. Right? Agape love. Love one another with intentionality. And this is what, certainly we fall short of it, but this is something that we ought to be thinking. Husbands and wives, this is the way we ought to be loving one another. Kids, this is what we ought to be doing to support the family, to be a part of it. And in fact, when we are loving one another, we ought to be infusing those ideas of that definition of love that comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Right? We ought to be speaking to one another kindly. We ought to be demonstrating love to one another through words and actions. And yeah, that would be a wonderful home. It would be a wonderful home. But I think it's a place where we can be. It's not a dream that can't be achieved. I think it's an expectation, a biblical expectation of what ought to be taking place in our home. The third thing is this, is that life grows from connectedness. Okay, life grows from connectedness. Last Sunday, I got here to church and went into the office, and then in the office, all the internet connections were all dead. My router had finally given up. We restarted it enough, and finally the thing was completely dead. And so we managed to get things ready for church service because everything else was working in the church. So that was fine. But the next 2 days, Monday, Tuesday, just seemed like a nightmare trying to make all the connections happen again. So we tried one type of router. It wasn't sufficient. Ended up getting a different router, a more powerful router, and it plugged in. But then the printers weren't working. And so we had to figure out, well, what's the connection issue with the printers? And then you had to, uninstall the printers, reinstall the printers on one computer if it was version 10 of Windows. And if the other one was version 8.1, then we had to do something else for that one. And then if the other one is still the antiquated dinosaur Windows 7, then something else had to happen on that. So for about 2 days, or 1.5 days, I'm just simply driving. I'm going crazy, right? It's like one thing after another. Seems like it ought to be simple to make these things happen, but no, it wasn't that simple. So I'm just struggling. I'm just completely frustrated with the connections that we're not making, that we're not taking place in the system. You see, that's what happens when we are not connecting as a family of God. Right? It's frustration. It's problem. God has designed us, He's made us, right, to be relational. He said to us that we ought to be intentional, but if we're not taking place, then it becomes unproductive. And so all the things that I would have gotten done on Monday and Tuesday, those things didn't get done on Monday and Tuesday. So then they get crammed into Wednesday, and the things that normally take place on Wednesday and Thursday don't get done. And so it's like this just problem because you're not able to get the things that you're supposed to do. You should just be able to go in, sit down, begin to work, knock it out, right? Be able to get those things taken care of. But that's the frustration that takes place. Now listen to what Jesus, in that context, listen to what Jesus says in John 17. John 17 is what's called the priestly prayer. Okay, Jesus is praying over the disciples. Really getting kind of to the end of things here. I love this chapter. It's just like Jesus is just breathing into them. And here's his heart expressed as he's praying. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. What I want you to see here is I want you to see the interconnectedness of what Jesus is expecting, what he's seeing in it. So it's not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one." Right? All of it working together. The connections are all happening. It's all flowing together. "So they may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me." So there's this connectedness that Jesus is saying, "Look, Lord, you know, Father, this relationship that you and I have in connection, Lord, I want this connection to be taking place in their lives as well." In verse 22, "I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." So what we see in this passage is we see all of this connection, all these connections that are taking place. It is God's desire that we have those connections. And it becomes problematic when we don't allow ourselves to be connected in the body of Christ. Dr. Cloud gives an excellent illustration in his book, The Healing Body, and he says this, his illustration, it was about a newborn infant, and this newborn infant, after the trauma, you know, going through the contractions that mom experiences, and then the dramatic, you know, entry into this world, and all those things, the heartbeats and pumping, and, you know, mom and baby have been under stress, all this, and then finally that baby comes into this place that it doesn't understand. It's no longer warm. There's this change of breathing, and it's all these physiological changes that are taking place, and the baby's like, "Ah, here I am." Right? What have they done? What they realize is they realize baby needs to go on to mama. Right? So now it's, you know, with our kids, my daughter-in-law and my daughter, when their babies were born, it was like skin to skin. I don't remember that back in our school. But it was skin to skin. They've learned. It's that baby needs to get to mama. Because bonding needs to start taking place. Connections need to start taking place. And all the stress that child is going through suddenly becomes okay because mom. And that baby begins, even at that point, to form connections with mama. Isn't that wonderful? I think the same thing takes place in a spiritual sense when we're born into Christ. Right? That it's Jesus becomes mine and I am His. And there's this bonding relationship. And as we continue in one another, as I continue in Christ, He continues to grow in me. And I begin to know more and more. We become more and more connected in Him. You see, the reality is this, and that is that relationship is crucial. Relationship is crucial, or critical, whatever you want to use. Relationship is crucial. The reason for that is because we were created to thrive in relationship. We were created to establish connections with one another. And what happens when connections are broken, it causes huge problems in our lives. When connections are broken, it causes huge problems in our lives. And when things go bad, what we end up is on the island of isolation. Sadly, bad things happen. Sadly, bonding gets messed up in human relationships and in human circumstances. I met a guy years ago, and this guy had something critical take place in his life when he was about 13, and I swear, he may have been 58 or so at the time I met him. He still acted like he was 13. That was his process. See, he went into this island of isolation, and that's where he stayed. And so there was this disconnect that took place. And so when we are in these places where relationship and connectedness and bonding, where these things fall apart, it becomes problematic for us in our lives. And unfortunately, many, many people that we know are in those places. Some of the things that you experience, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this island of isolation, I think we realize it, but you can be in a place where you're depressed, feelings of depression, sadness, inactivity, difficulty thinking and concentrating on stuff. There may be this when you're on that island, a feeling of meaninglessness, right? You're in this place where nothing matters, nothing's important. And it comes on people that are on that island. Sometimes there's a feeling of badness and guilt. Okay, a feeling of badness and guilt. I want to kind of explain this. It's when a person begins to think to himself, I feel lonely, therefore I am not loved. If I'm not loved, it must be because I am unlovable, so I am bad, and someone will not love me. And so there's this process of thinking. Cindy Sadler called it thinking. It's really the devil coming in and begins to speak this thing, because when we look at the Word of God, we find out we're created in His image. He loves us. Right? He has a desire, He has a purpose, He has a plan for us. But when we're in isolation, it can cause problems. Isolation can lead to addiction. Not only alcohol, drugs, or food, but people can get addicted to behaviors like sex, like gambling, like work, like destructive relationships over and over again. They're getting into those relationships. Religiosity, they're all doing all the right things, but there's no heart behind it. But it becomes an addiction. Achievement can become an addiction. Gotta do the next thing, right? Gotta succeed. Materialism. So the list could go on. We could get into distorted thinking. We could get into sadness, fears of intimacy, feelings of unreality, panic, rage, excessive caretaking, and even fantasy. And these are all places that if we get isolated, see, when we get out of the plan that God has for us to be connected, then we end up in a place where it is destructive and it begins to cause problems into our life. So let's just simply agree to these things right here. Maybe I don't have a slide for it. So these things right here. First of all, relationship is natural. Okay, relationship is natural. It's God-designed. Secondly, relationship is intentional. It is about agape love. And relationship is crucial. Like a baby, we are wired to connect. So relationship is natural, it is intentional, and it is crucial. And we have to become connected. Now I want to use Dr. Cloud here, and he's going to kind of help us understand this a little bit more.
this invisible God created humans with real bodies and flesh. He also created us this relationship to provide a lot of that foundational connectedness that we need in order to thrive.
Let me tell you about a man that came to see me one time. He was a renowned heart surgeon.
And famous guy, you know, medical centers named after him. But he developed an addiction. And that addiction had to do with sex. And they found out he'd been sleeping with all the nurses and the hospital administrators and just, you know, acting out all over the place. And his famous, renowned career he had. Well, he had a lot of trouble. But his wife and his business partners, they said, you know what, let's stick with you. You need to resolve the problem. So he called me and said, I got a plan. I had a big fall, I had a plan. And I want to come and do my plan with you. So he came out and sat, walked out of bed. I thought, you know, tell me what your plan is. And he said, I want to know, I have spiritual disciplines, I'm going to be studying the word, I'm going to be praying, and reading some books. And, you know, I found out I wasn't really meeting my wife's needs. So now I'm going to, you know, every day I'm going to come home instead of checking out, having a few martinis and just vegging because I was up at 4, did 5 surgeries. I'm going to connect with her and you know, take her on a walk and bring out a bird and all of this stuff. And said, what do you think? I said, I can't hear you. You're very depressed. He said, why? I said, because I'm just saying that's a lot. He said, why? I said, for sure, do this to me. I guarantee you that do this to me. He said, what are you talking about? This is a good problem. That's what my pastor helped. I said, I know it's all these things are good, but doctor, let me tell you something about the human heart. This is a renowned heart surgeon. He goes, okay, fine. I said, aren't there like two pipes going in and two pipes going out? You know, the blood comes in and then it goes out. He said, well, that kind of. I said, well, you got some clogged arteries. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you got everything you're doing, everything you're seeing is outflow. It's outflow. There's nothing coming in. None of this is basically going to meet any of your needs. He said, well, yeah, I guess. But it was sort of foreign to him. And so I asked him the question. I said, when did you learn that life is all about you just out there? You know, it all depended on you. And when I said that, he looked at me and said, I can tell you exactly what it is. I said, well, that's the only story that when he was in high school, his father was an alcoholic, they sent him off to rehab, his father disappeared. When that happened, his mother went and had a nervous breakdown, so they called it back then. He went to a psychiatric hospital for 2 years. He had 3 or 4 young siblings. He said, I walked out to the yard and I realized, I guess it all depends on me. And he had a chance of kids. And he started getting it, started saying it. So then I went to college, I was pre-med, studied all the time, and I worked in all these kind of stuff. And I went to medical school, and then I went to medical school, and I started doing surgery. But for 15, 20 years, he said, I'm up at 4 every morning, I do surgeries, but, you know, all this administrative. He said, yeah, that's all I do. He said, is that what you're talking about? He said, I have been on that sick road for a long time. I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, when I think of you, where you live, I don't know what life has dealt your way, but, you know, people get abused, people get neglected. Some parents and styles really don't show up, kids grow up into a connected person. Sometimes you go that way and find yourself again in context, and now they're missing it. You just really, yeah, people are around you, but the fond memories of not receiving by being vulnerable. What you lose from others, you might have to tell that to others. That's a soft sentence that some are not feeling emotionally disconnected. You know, feeling like I need to comfort, support, and heal, and nurture, and even encourage that we're not really getting that because it's hard for us to trust, it's hard for us to walk in a space of vulnerability. You know, I bet you've been on airplanes sometime the last couple of years. When you're on an airplane, if you notice that you have the cell phone, you're working on stuff. But it's just a limit. You can only work on the email or the problems or the data or the application that you have on there. Well, if you're going to have that button, what do? You hit the call button, and it jumps to life, and immediately, it is just shifting stuff in that phone. And immediately, up in the top left-hand corner, what does it say? Searching for a connection. And then it connects to that network, and what happens? It goes through a whole different web. Updates are installed that make the symptoms go away. Programs are installed that allow it to get to the next level. But think about your symptoms. The depression, maybe the eating disorder, the anxiety, the addiction, whatever. Stress and burnout. Well, a lot of those bugs that we carry around, they can't be better until we're connected. And the network is significant, loving-caring, grace-filled relationships around us can begin to provide comfort for the world that we need. But often, that's the problem. I've never seen an addiction. I've never seen a stress problem. I've never seen a depression. I've never seen any of this stuff or a relational issue or a performance issue. I've never seen it get better without this core ingredient that's connected with the job of God. You know, you think about doctor, that's the first step, right? God doesn't give you a program, a diet program, or here's how you get over anxiety program and download it, you know, from the mountaintop. Oh, yeah, he did that, right? He gave us the program. It's called the law. Moses came, and he said, here's the way it works, guys. But it didn't work. The Bible says that it was powerless to us. These rules and these methods and following these plans, absolutely necessary and absolutely insufficient. Because the law was meant to show us how we ought to be, but we're unable to reach it. Why? Because we didn't have the connection with God and with His body, with His people. We didn't have the connection. So it's going to force us to be able to reach those standards, force us to be able to continue in that person. You may be trying to do everything you know to do, spiritually, blissfully, emotionally. But the fuel is just, you know, take somebody with an addiction and they just say it over and over and over and over again. They feel bad. They say, I'm going to do it this time. But they keep going back into it. And it happens for years and years and years. They feel, somebody comes along and says, hey, what is going on in my group here where we deal with stuff like that? And what happens? They show up in that group and they begin to open up. And they get reconnected. And this magical, unexplainable, spiritual dynamic, philosophy, physicists, anybody can try this place. It's just mind body. It's how can this, such an immaterial, invisible, like love, how can that fuel a physical being to get to a higher level? And everything's stress, anxiety, disease, and all this stuff is just really supportive of the body. How does that work? We don't know how it works, but it works. Well, I'll tell you why it works. It works because God, this invisible spiritual being, this energy called love, who is a person, when He connects with us, and He makes you think of it, and He tells us. So now that He ascended, and He's put His spirit in others, so there's two or more gathered in one place, He's connecting with you. And that connection, that is Ephesians 4, says that body being connected and held together. When it begins to do this, it's just the whole body heals itself up. It heals itself. It is part of the work. So we can't see when we start to step up, hey, if somebody's there, and they hear it, and they look at all of that, it's magical healing. You take an infected finger, you put it in a door, you have to study a book on anatomy. It's not going to get well. But that book on anatomy says it needs to be connected to the body to get a new blood, new oxygen, new system, and all this stuff. So you get that connected to the human. Doctors will tell you, they don't know anybody. They just do it for the body, but the body needs to do it itself. Well, God has called you to be in this kind of vulnerable, connected body of Christ. I hope that's where you are now, and if you're not, I hope you get a little. And you become straight to heal, straight to heal, and you get reconnected from a vulnerable place to let you do this incredible healing that you didn't know it was.
Amen. I'm going to ask piano. I have another part of the message that we get back to the Facebook to plug into, but I don't feel like that's going to work. So that would go right now. So I'm going to ask you just to stand. What I want to do is I just want to respond. I just want to respond to this idea of connection. I can't imagine, to some degree I can imagine, but being in a place where you just don't feel connected to anything. You feel like you're completely just lost and that you're longing for that connection. And I just want to provide that opportunity right now for you to be able to do that. We're going to open up the altar, but and nobody's here to know, I can't believe that person's going up there. But that's not what it's about. What it's about is it's about right now meeting a need that only God can meet. It may be that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. That's the place to start. Today could be the beginning of that relationship. It might be that you're in that island of isolation and loneliness, and maybe you fit one of those descriptions that I mentioned earlier. And you just need to bow down before God and just say, Lord, I need to be connected. I just need to be connected. I need to feel that connection again. So we're just going to take a few moments here just to enjoy being in the Lord's presence. But we're also going to open it up to the, come on up to the altar. For whatever reason it may be, you just need a touch. Maybe husbands and wives, maybe you want to come up together and just go, we're just going to allow God to connect us fresh. Feel fresh work in us. Things are good. I want it to be better. So let's just do that right now. This is purely to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Your praise, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, oh Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise your name. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise your name. Lord, I praise. Ever be on my lips. I thank God for what he's doing this morning. I ask you to stay here at the altars. And what I'd like to do is for those of us that are in the seats back there, and you're willing to come forward and just lay your hand on that person at the altar just to make a connection. Say, hey, there's a connection. We're connecting this morning. And just agree with prayer. We don't need to interrupt what they're doing. They're one-on-one with God. It's awesome. It's what needs to be taking place. We're just connecting. We're saying, hey, we're a part of that family. I love you. We're believing what God can do for you. We're just trusting the Lord. He's touching people. It's all right. He's touching people. This is what we need to be doing this morning. We're connecting. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. This is the body of Christ. The body of Christ has come together. We're connecting in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. You're sovereign, oh God. Thank you for your love, Lord Jesus. Lord, we rejoice in you. Lord, I praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, I praise you. Hallelujah. Your Spirit of God is in this place. Thank you. Hallelujah. Touch lives, oh Jesus. Fill them, oh God. Fill them, Lord Jesus. Lord, I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You're doing wonderful things. Wonderful things this morning, oh Jesus. Lord, I praise you. Praise your name. Connect us, oh God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. Praise your name. Lord, you're mighty. Lord, I praise you. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, I praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you glory for what's taking place in this church today. This is of God. It was your design. It was your intention. We're loving one another, Lord, asking, oh God, you to come in and, Lord, to help us love one another with agape love, to love intentionally. Lord, this is critical. Lord, I thank you that today the end can be done, can be stated for an island of isolation, but that connections are being established. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, I thank you for healing marriages. Lord, I thank you, God, for taking them to a place where they've never been before in relationship, that you're bonding them together, oh God, that you're bonding families together, Lord Jesus. Lord, the hurts of the past are being left behind in this place this morning. Lord, we rejoice in you. You are faithful and true. You're faithful and true. Hallelujah. Lord, we just praise you. Praise your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that we're flowing again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is what church is about. This is what church is about. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah.